Welcome to the Ascent Church Podcast. We hope this message from Pastor Gary Armley inspires you to pursue God, equip people, and release hope.
Well, Father, we thank you this morning for your incredible sacrifice of giving us your Son. Thank you, Lord, for your love for us. That's so amazing. So generous and so all-encompassing. Holy Spirit, I just invite you to give us receptors. Holy Spirit, I thank you for the angelic activity that's in this room. And as was released prophetically by Tony, Lord, that it's raining in this room. I'm just going to read what she sent me. Thank you, Lord. We love you, Lord, and we can't function without you. She said, it's raining in here, his rain. In the natural, rain brings forth life. It brings forth growth and harvest. Spiritually, his rain brings washing us clean, healing the wounds as it cleans away the dirt, allowing the healing to take place, refreshing to the thirsty. So much life in his rain, in him. So just receive, even as the word comes forth, the healing that you need. Amen. Well, my topic this morning is glorious grace. Amen. And last Sunday, Pastor Jay started speaking to us about the fact that this church is a house of hope and a house of grace. Dan Teason, who was one of the guest speakers at our last encounter, prophesied that his presence would be that this house would be a house of his presence, and it would impact the region. Pastor Jay, because of the words given, had begun to teach on the blood of Jesus, which is a topic that needs to be visited quite often. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. It's crucial for us to understand the incredible gift of forgiveness that we've received. And I don't think we always fully understand the impact of the forgiveness that we have received. Do you understand this morning that you are fully forgiven? Because the first time we blow it, the enemy lies to us and we think we're not forgiven. And he tries to lie to us and put fear in us that just maybe we might not be going to heaven. Right? That's right. When Jesus rose from the dead, the work of redemption was completed. It was finished. The victory is ours. We now live in it. We live in the completed work of the cross. The finished work of the cross. The power of the cross, the power of the blood, is everything for a believer. And we need to have such a handle on that. Because if not, we tend to want to slip back into some law mentality and religious mentality. But those who have been set free are free indeed. I still remember so clearly when the Lord spoke to me to begin teaching on grace, we were actually still in the Woodsley facility. This is now over 20 years ago. All we had known was religion and works. And we got gloriously saved during the charismatic renewal. But all that background was still sitting there. It was deeply embedded in us. And we came into Christianity, and I was a pastor, and I began to preach the word as best I could. But I look back today, and I look at my sermons from way back then, and I think, oh, my Lord, forgive me, Lord. There was a lot of grace, not a lot of grace in there, and a lot of works, because God had to really transform my part of my walk. And those of you who are with me from the beginning, and there's a few of you here, know that we kind of all grew up together because we had to unlearn so much. To change a works mindset takes a long time. Takes a long time. Just when you think you're done, bingo, there's another one. We are so conditioned to work for God so that he'll love us more. And yet he loves us unconditionally, perfectly, completely. I can't earn his love. It's freely given because he first loved us. Amen? You know, there, in the middle of all this, when I say we don't have to work for his love, that doesn't mean we don't serve, but we serve now out of a place of relationship with him. Amen? We serve our neighbor. We serve our family. We serve in here. We may serve at our workplace when someone else is too busy. That comes out of the love that has been poured into us. All of us who are sitting here today for saved may have had a very sinful lifestyle at one time. But when Jesus was invited into our hearts, he washed everything away completely, and we're new creations in Christ. Thanks, Aaron. Brand new creations, a prototype on the earth. A good example for us to look at is the life of the Apostle Paul. He describes himself as the greatest of sinners. The greatest of sinners. When you think about him, Paul was like an ISIS with what he was doing. He was destroying the church. I mean, whoever he could find was imprisoned, and their lives were taken. He had such a hatred for those that walked in the way. 1 Corinthians 15, 9-11 says, "For I am the least of the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace towards me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me." Paul recognized where he'd come from. And he recognized that everything that was happening through his life was grace. It was grace. Yes, he was a Pharisee of Pharisees, a well-educated man. But God had taken him to the backside of the desert for a long time. And he had to soak off works with him too, because he had a law mentality, right? He had to change that man too, so that the knowledge he had would now work towards releasing grace and understanding of what the church was to look like and how the church was to function. So the Lord worked on Paul too. The Holy Spirit worked on him. And so the Holy Spirit has to work on us. I've just been reading Acts and Romans, and when Pastor Jay asked me to preach, I thought, oh, I know where I'm going. Like, God always leads me to certain parts of the scriptures before it happens. And as I was reading it, I just saw the incredible transformation of Paul's life, and it's progressive. You can see it. Have you thought about the fact that the moment you invited Jesus into your heart, your sins are completely forgiven? Is that correct? Right? When Jesus comes in, we're forgiven. Past, present, and future. All the sins are forgiven. Because we weren't born when he died. He forgave all sin forever. He took the sin nature out of us. Do we miss it sometimes? Yes, definitely. At least I do. I haven't arrived yet. Ask Jack. But there's a particular way that God wants us to pray, that we don't go back into condemnation, guilt, shame, when we miss it. We have to understand that when God says we are forgiven, we are forgiven. We may remember past things, but they're forgiven. And eventually, you don't even think about them anymore. Ephesians 1:7, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the richness of his grace. We have forgiveness of sins because of the richness of his grace. David describes the blessedness of a man whose sins are forgiven. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord shall not impute sin. But the New Living Translation puts it this way. Oh, what a joy for those whose disobedience is forgiven. Come on, grab that. Because you're forgiven. Oh, what a joy whose disobedience is forgiven, whose sins are put out of sight. Yes, what joy for those whose record the Lord has cleared of sin. Have you ever heard preaching where, well, when you die, your whole life is going to show up on a screen in heaven? Have you ever heard anybody say that? Like, who wants to go to heaven? That's not love. That's a fear tactic. That is not what God does. He has fully forgiven us. To understand the total forgiveness of sins, we have to understand the value of the person Jesus Christ. He's the perfect Son of God. Think about it. We sang about him this morning. He created the universe with his Father and the Holy Spirit. He created us and said it was good. He is filled with glory and yet is willing to leave it all to come to earth to be the Lamb who's willing to be sacrificed on the cross. He took the judgment, the punishment, condemnation for all sins of humanity upon himself. The perfect Son of God, in obedience to his Father, suffered and died for our sins so that we could be set free from the bondage of the kingdom of darkness and Satan. We are forgiven. That's got to penetrate. We are forgiven. We are not sinners saved by grace. That is error. We are saints set free by the King through his love and empowered by grace. There's no salvation without the cleansing blood. There's no assurance that our sins have been forgiven without the blood. And without the resurrection of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15, 17 states, if Christ is not risen, our faith is futile. You are still in your sins. So if he didn't die and he didn't rise from the dead, there's nothing. It's futile. But because he came up out of the grave and we came up out of the grave with him, we now carry his abundant life in us. He's in us and we're in him. That's the gospel. Amen? Not that I have to earn his love. I function from love, perfect love. When we surrender our hearts to him, he comes to live there forever. Doesn't come once in a while to visit. He's there forever. Ephesians 2:4-9. You're going to get a lot of scripture today. But God is rich in mercy, and he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace you have been saved. For he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in heavenly realms. Because we are united with Christ Jesus, so God can point to us in all future ages as an example of the incredible wealth of his grace and kindness towards us, as shown in all he has done for us who are united with Christ Jesus. God saved you by his grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for this gift. It's a gift from God. I wanted to look what it says here. For he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms. So where are you seated? Do you believe it? Some do, some. We are seated in Christ Jesus in the heavenly realms. And oh, what wealth there is in that place. We think, oh, one day we'll go to heaven. God says, no, I want you to enjoy it now. But very few can, because they feel so disqualified. God wants you to feel qualified today. Not because of you, what you've done, but because of what his son has done. Amen? A gift is given. You cannot work for a gift. If it's a gift, it's given. And Jesus gave his own life as a ransom for yours. Romans 5, 18 and 19 tells us, therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. So Adam sinned. Therefore, in Adam, we all sinned. Even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men to justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. What does righteous mean, righteousness? It's not being right. It's right believing. It's right believing. Are you righteous? Are you right believing? Do you believe the word? Amen? Right believing. Justification. Making me as I have never sinned. He removed all the guilt and penalty of sin and made us righteous by his blood. Right believing that he did this. Come on, are you awake? Yeah, you're going to have to. There's just the dullness that wants to come. Don't let it. Shake it off. One of the men that came here on the last encounter night, how many of you were here? Quite a few. You remember Dan Thiessen on the Friday night? I don't think he was supposed to be the speaker, but he ended up being the speaker, and he was good. He's a chaplain in BC in a medium and minimum prison. He's been teaching these men about grace. I mean, it was just so powerful. I've been communicating with him a little bit because I sat there in absolute amazement as I listened to him, what's happening in that prison. Some of them have been incarcerated for 35 years or more. When they received forgiveness and began to walk in their new nature, he taught them the word. He taught them grace. He taught them the word. Every time he had chapel, he taught them the word. He began to teach them about the cross and the blood and God's grace. And these men started to come alive. It was like something inside of them was so impacted that incarceration could not have done. These men got born again. And they began to want more, and he teaches them every week on grace. And then he started a prayer meeting. And he thought, well, maybe if you would come. Well, more and more are coming to the prayer meeting. They just want to be in the presence of the Lord. They're being transformed from the inside out. Things that they had done, things that they had suffered through, where they felt they had been abandoned, maybe soul hurts, they all began to be healed. And they're coming alive. And he's having a revival in that jail as these men and women are coming into the presence of the Lord. Isn't that amazing? What the word of grace can do in a prison? May it just spread through that whole prison, and may it go into the area where they're maximum. He hasn't gotten in there, but may it spread in there, and may they begin to see, wow, there's another way of having prisoners be changed. And it isn't punishment. It's the word of God, salvation. Amazing. Grace. So most of us know grace as unearned, undeserved, unmerited favor. Have you heard that before? All right, let me give you some more definitions. And let it sink into your soul. Grace carries the refreshing reality of God's ongoing acceptance of us, an acceptance not dependent on our failures or successes. Grace rescues us from the syndrome of rejection and insecurity. That's what's happening in that prison. The tyranny of performance-oriented living and endless anxiety associated with trying to achieve and earn acceptance by keeping laws and regulations. Grace, true grace, turns disappointment into divine appointments and failures into stepping stones to success. These are some of the definitions from an author, Rob Rufus, whose material Dan Thiessen is using in the prison. And I thought, these are neat definitions. And then there's this one. And this one is kind of the one I'm going to bear down on. Grace is the empowering presence of God that enables you to become the person that God sees when he looks at you. Grace is the empowering presence of God that enables you to become the person that God sees when he looks at you. Not what you see, but what God sees. And when that grace comes into your life, it begins to work to make you become that person. Jesus longs to lavish us with his incredible grace and love. He longs to pour it on us. We have to go, I receive. Amen? It's there all the time. John 1:14-17, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So Jesus is full of grace and truth. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, this was he of whom I said, he who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness, not a little bit, of his fullness, you got to catch the words of what's being said here. Of his fullness, we have all received. And grace for grace, not a little bit, of his fullness we have all received. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Jesus is full of grace. So, if I live in Christ and Christ lives in me, you live in Christ, and Christ lives in you. and Jesus is the fullness of it, is that grace not in you? And can you not draw on it every moment of the day? And is it not working in your life? But if you believe you're still a sinner, it's hard for grace to work. That's why it's so crucial that you understand that you're forgiven. And grace is there to help you to become the very person that God has created you to be in the destiny that He's written over you. You have an incredible destiny on your life. We've had many years of living in the world, depending on when you got saved. And you were bound to the world and its ways, which had an impact on you, had an impact on your soul. And if we're not careful, it'll still have an impact on our souls. Be very careful right now. Lots of not good stuff. But when I turn to Him, and when you turn to Him and ask for His grace, it activates in our lives healing. It activates peace. It activates joy, love, long-suffering, all those fruits of the Spirit that were in Jesus that have to form in us. Right? 2 Corinthians 12:7-10, and lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of revelations, a thorn of the flesh was given to me, a messenger from Satan, to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And He said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of God may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. That's a scripture we should chew on when life gets difficult. And need to go back to it and say, God, why am I in this crisis situation? Why am I walking through this? You know, for our young people, why are we in this situation? Why is this so difficult? But there's grace available to walk through every circumstance. And when we feel the weakest, if we cry to Him, we become strong. Grace helps us to walk. 2 Peter 1:2-4, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Not just a little bit, all. Are you hearing what I'm saying? All things, the fullness of. He's paid for all our sins. We've made Him too small. We've made our gospel too small. And when we make our gospel small, we make it powerless. If we make our gospel small, we don't have faith to move out when God tells us to. When God says, go speak to that one, I'm afraid, but there's this grace there that we get to reach into and say, Lord, enable me, empower me to do right now what You want me to do. Don't let my fear lead me. You lead me. You lead me. Our relationship with Him is crucial in order to really walk this out. Daily time with Him is crucial. Not to earn His love, but to get to know Him. To get to know the Word. To get to understand and let the Word wash us and heal us. This is so crucial. And I think we're going to need this foundation in us as the world situation keeps changing. Would you agree? There's a solid rock we need to stand on. And a place of peace we need to walk in if things shake around us. How else do we help others if we don't yet have it? So I feel like it's a teaching time right now. Romans 5:1, our faith in Jesus transfers God's righteousness to us, and he now declares us flawless in his sight. This means we can now enjoy true and lasting peace with God, all because of what our Lord Jesus, the Anointed One, has done for us. We can have true and lasting peace. And I have times when my peace lives. And then I go into the flesh. Nobody else does that. And it's not good, because it doesn't help the situation. And so I have to look back. Where did I lose my peace? Where did it just go? And then I have to step back into the Lord and get just connected again, right? And it's easy. It's easy to, when you're in the world, to step into the world's ways, but we're called to walk in his ways. Our faith guarantees us access into this marvelous kindness that he's given to us, a perfect relationship with God. This is still part of Romans. What incredible joy bursts forth within us as we keep on celebrating our hope of experiencing God's glory. But that's not all. Even in times of trouble, we have a joyful confidence, knowing that our pressures will develop in us patient endurance. And patient endurance will refine our character. And proven character leads us back to hope. We're the house of hope. And this hope is not a disappointing fantasy, because we can now experience the endless love of God cascading into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who lives in us. So when we are going through difficult circumstances, it's crucial that we stop and think, what are you trying to do in my life? And Lord, if I yield to you and let you work in the circumstance, if your grace works in that circumstance, Lord, what is it you're forming in me that's part of your character? Because you're already in me, so I have to become like you and look like you, right? I have to love like you. I have to forgive like you. I have to embrace people like you. Jesus embraced the most unlovable. We're called to do the same thing, but God works in us so we get to the place where we can do it. It's his enabling grace that will work through us, but our difficult circumstances are there for a reason. Sickness comes from the devil, but difficulties come in life. Right, Pascal? They come. And now there's a learning curve for Dave and Pascal to know how to now function where they're at with a lot of grace. That's what God's grace is for. When our spouses age, we need a lot of grace, because everything starts to change. Judy's going, yes. Everything changes. Everything in life, and it happens to all of us. But we need grace. And in this journey I've been on, it's like, God, what are you forming? What are you building in me in the middle of this? And when I want to sit down in a puddle and cry, I think, what's the use anyway? It doesn't get me anywhere. And I go back to the Word. Once in a while, I still do. Anyway. So God's grace is pouring into us to form himself in us. It's an endless love cascade. When I think of an endless love cascade, I think of Niagara Falls. You know, and that water just pouring over those falls. Well, his love, church, is cascading into us all the time. all the time. We're often not aware of it, but it's there. Going back to Paul, he states, it's the grace of God which was with me, right? Paul was a totally transformed man. When he met Jesus on the Damascus Road, he just gave his life completely. If we are in Christ, then so are all the circumstances that you and I are walking through. You thought about that? Because he's there with us and in us, so he's walking it with us. The grace of God works in us constantly. Grace is my territory, and I bring it with me wherever I go. I bring it with me wherever I go. God's empowering presence goes with me wherever I go. I think of the men in the BC jail who are being transformed by his empowering presence. Just amazing. Just. Then as I was sitting there, I thought, Lord, remind me of another example that's so powerful. Years ago, before I became a pastor, I worked in the Crisis Pregnancy Center in Windsor. And part of my job was to go into the schools and speak to students about chastity. And often, in the middle of all that, I'd end up ministering to a young girl who'd already had an abortion. But they sent us on a training course to Chicago, and one of the keynote speakers was a woman who at one time owned an abortion clinic. And she had her son and her daughter working with her in that abortion clinic. And one day, and she murdered hundreds of children, hundreds of children. And one day she met Jesus Christ and was forgiven of her sins. And someone in the course of, there was questions and answers afterwards, asked her, how can you live with yourself knowing that you have murdered so many children? And she said, only by the grace of God and only knowing I'm forgiven. And she said, I have to sometimes think of that moment by moment. Both her children were still involved in the industry, which broke her heart. But she'd walked away from it completely, left everything behind, and was now teaching on life and was working with crisis pregnancy centers. Amazing testimony of what God can do in one's life. Amen? Nothing too big for God to turn. Okay, I gotta wind this up. Blessed be the God of our Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Just as he chose us in him from the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he has made us accepted in the beloved. So we're adopted, we're accepted in the beloved, we're full of his grace, he loves us. What an inheritance we have. We talked about a natural inheritance, but the inheritance we have in the spirit is amazing. There's nothing bigger, nothing better. Amen? So this process works in our lives. The process of change makes us rich. We're rich. To be wealthy is grace. You want to be wealthy? Draw on his grace. Use his grace. Don't let it go to waste. Every circumstance you walk in, say, Lord, it's in your empowering presence that helps me to become the way you see me. And I can hear some of you thinking, so what about repentance? Where does repentance fit in, Pastor? And I thought, I got to put that in. So many of us get stuck here and feel the moment we commit a sin, we have to repent. But repentance is all about returning to God's grace because of his goodness, demonstrated at the cross. His grace is your source of power and strength over every sin. So if you've made a mistake or you're struggling with a sinful habit today, repent by turning to the cross, seeing that mistake already punished in the body of Jesus, receiving God's unmerited favor to overcome this area of weakness. We have to understand that sin is destructive and brings with it a whole lot of damaging consequences. But Jesus loves us and is there to empower us to walk away from that which wants to destroy us. In the Gospels, we see over and over that people are transformed when they meet the love of Jesus. That is how we are transformed, by going. So when I miss it, I don't go into, please forgive me, please forgive me. Lord, am I still going to heaven? Fear riddling me. That's not how we do it. We look at the cross. Jesus, I thank you that you died for me. I thank you that you nailed the sin to the cross. I thank you now for your empowering grace to overcome this. It's there. If I've hurt someone, yes, I go and ask for forgiveness. But let me give you the meaning of repentance. The word is metanoia. Meta means change, while noia means mind. So metanoia or repentance means a change of mind. Right believing always leads to right living. If he's forgiven me for my sins, past, present, and future, then I need to look at the cross and say, Lord, this is not you. Change me, Lord, to be like you in this area. I need your grace, your empowering presence, to be like you right now. Does that sound like heresy? I don't think so. We can get into this fear-based thinking where, well, look what I did. What hope is there for me? Even after we've been saved, church, we sin. We blow it. But our thing is to look at him. And I don't know if you know about Joseph Prince. A lot of people follow some of his material. He gets testimony after testimony after testimony of people who are set free from addictive habits. And what part of his teaching is, they may still be going through the addictive habit, but he teaches them, look to Jesus and look to what Jesus did for you on the cross. Give him that addictive habit and ask him for the grace to move forward. And when you fail again, do the same thing again. They talk about coming totally free. They come totally free from the grace of the Lord working in their lives. It's quite amazing. I've read a whole bunch of them in the last couple of weeks, and I thought, Lord, grace works. Grace works. It's wonderful. Right believing always leads to right living. When you believe right about God's grace, about your righteousness in Christ, and how you've been set apart for holiness, everything changes. His love will begin to touch the deepest areas of your heart and bring transformation from the inside out. The breakthrough is not dependent on your hard work, but on the power of the Holy Spirit. So Holy Spirit, help us to remember the next time we fail, not to beat ourselves up, but to turn to you in that moment and look at you on the cross, paying the price in full, not with condemnation and not with fear, but with a gratefulness that you already took my sin on the cross. And then, Lord, enable me to say, Lord, pour your grace into my life. And if I have to set something straight with someone, even there, your enabling grace is there for me so I can go and make it right. And your peace will flood that situation. So, Lord, thank you for your grace. Thank you for your love. I pray, Father God, that we would come free from sin consciousness and come into the liberty of what you've done for us. How great is the cross of Jesus? How great is the blood of Jesus that we would be set free? Amen.
Amen. Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Ascent, you can visit our website at ascentchurch.ca.